Blog Talk Radio.
Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the revelation of fear. But before I get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight, God, for your word that you've given us, God, that we might not sin against you, God. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent to dwell within us when we make your Son, Jesus Christ, the master of our life, God. Father, I thank you for you having given your Son, Jesus Christ, all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, after you raised him from the dead in the tomb after 3 days and three nights, and seated him at your right hand and gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within each and every one of us. Father, I thank you for you just allowing us to stand in that place of privilege, God, to operate in that power, and to represent you appropriately in the earth, God. Father, allow us to focus on you so that we can please you, trust you, and serve you, and operate out of your unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Healing. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it. It's moving. And it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
It's moving. And it's breaking. This worship is shifting the like you think they should. Don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say take this that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing the revelation of fear. And for so many of us, Christians, and for myself as well, it is difficult to consider the idea of embracing the possibility that fear is a component of our relationship with God. And I know that I've been taught growing up that the fear of God is a reverential fear, respectful fear, and that it is not the same as other types of fear. But the fact is that fear is basically what motivates you. Fear of if you're going to be afraid, fear the thing that is closest to you. As a matter of fact, that is how most of us operate. It is something called the law of proximity. Most people feel the threat. They fear the threat of the thing that is closest to them. So for most people, fear of the most of the threat that is the closest to them is the concern. Whatever you're looking at right now, whatever you're looking at today, is what you are most concerned about. The thing that can affect you right now, you are most concerned about. The thing that is the closest to you, you are afraid of. But we know that it says in 1 Timothy 1:7 that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but God has given us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And yet, so many of us do not operate in power. We do not operate in love. We do not operate in a sound mind. And I have come to believe that one of the reasons for this is because we don't fear God. We don't reverence God the way that we should. We do not understand the nature of God and who he is and respond to that in a very real way, the way that we should. See, there are three qualities about God that you have to understand in order to even begin to conceive of the magnitude of his being. God is omnipotent. That means God is all-powerful. God is omniscient. That means God is all-knowing. And God is omnipresent. That means he is present everywhere, all the time. There is nowhere where God is not. And that should comfort us in knowing that our Heavenly Father has all power, that he has all knowledge, and he's wherever we are, he is going to be there. That should comfort us. Now, at the same time, it should provoke us to action, to act differently. And in the process of provoking us to act differently, it should affect the way that we respond to his presence. I want to start tonight in a passage of scripture that is going to bless you, is going to instruct you, is going to lead you. And it is located in the book of Proverbs. And it is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. And we're going to start in verse 9, and we're going to read to verse 11, where it says, "Instruct a wise man, and he will be still, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life." See, this is a promise from God. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So when we understand that if we desire the wisdom of God, the fear of God is required. It is the beginning, acknowledging God's power, acknowledging God's knowledge, acknowledging God's presence. Because when we don't fear God, then we act as if we are not being always watched over by God Almighty. We act as if we cannot be impacted by an all-powerful God. We act as if he's not wherever we are doing whatever we're doing, whenever we're doing it. And if we really believe that God was everywhere, do you believe that we would do the things that we do? If we really believe that God knows everything, would we really, really do some of the things that we do? Say some of the things we say. If we really believe that God was as powerful as he is, all powerful, would we doubt him in any way? I believe that adjusting our mindset toward God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And see, I don't believe that we have to view the fear of God as a negative thing. It is a necessary thing. It's necessary because God says in his word, whom he loves, he chastens. That means that he's not going to leave you floundering and flailing throughout life without guidance, without direction, without instruction, without teaching, without knowledge, to flail in ignorance until you get to the end of your journey. God is not going to allow that to happen to you. And so his direction is required. His hand is required. And he is going to prune you. He is going to develop you. He's going to teach you. He's going to instruct you through the Holy Spirit that he's placed within you. And when you understand this, then you allow God to lead you. And you enter into this process of communicating with God, studying God's word, fasting, and looking for the promises in God's word so that you can test them and make them real for you. Now, the other side of this is that if you are close to the world and not close to God, then what is causing you to act, what is defining who you are, is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Everything that exalts and feeds the purposes and the passions and the desires of self. If this is what's going on, then what you're going to find is that your proximity to the world, your closeness to the world, is going to cause you to fear the world more than you fear God, because you have allowed the world to impact you greater than you've allowed God to impact you. You're more concerned about your 401k, you're more concerned about your investments, you're more concerned about your taxes, your political standing in your community, and your business, and your employees, or your job, or your career, or your wife, or your kids, or any other thing that's going on here, than you are about God. And that is going to cause you to live a life that is far less than what God has in store for you. See, bondage, no matter how cute or well-packaged it is, it's still bondage. A jail is still a jail, whether you're in an actual penitentiary or whether you're simply caught up in your own mind in fear. Prison is prison. And when you're close to the world, your fear of the world is going to be greater than your fear of God, because you can't acknowledge who God is because you don't communicate with him. You don't study his word. You don't fast. And that distance from God makes your concern about his presence less relevant. Because your proximity to the world is greater, your fear and your reverence is toward the world and those who operate in the limited power of the world. And I'm not saying that the world has no power. They have power if you subject yourself to the realm of the world. But if you subject yourself to God, then the power that is within you is greater than the power that's in the world. The challenge is that your fear must be toward God and not toward the world. And how you allow that to become your reality is you communicate with God. You study God's word. You fast. It says the way of wisdom. It says, instruct a wise man, and he'll be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. That's our desire, is to live 120 years in God's presence. And we want to attempt to reach that goal. We want to realize that promise in the word. Listen to what it says here in Job 28:28. It says, "And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding." So turning away from the world is understanding. And remember what we read earlier? The knowledge of the Holy One is turn away from evil. You're turning toward God. You're turning your back on the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and you're empowering yourself to stand in the presence of God. And it's interesting because it is this standing on God's promises that removes the fear from being in God's presence. And yet, it's the fear of the Lord that makes you turn away from the world and draw near to God. And God is saying, "I'm your dear Father. I love you. I care for you. I have the power to protect you. I want you to draw near and near and near to me. Don't be afraid," right? But what pushes us away from God is sin. And when we sin, when we feed the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, what we do is we take ourselves further and further from God, subjecting ourselves more and more to this world, and we find ourselves in a state of distress, in a state of lack, in a state of powerlessness. And that is not God's desire for us. See, Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have a rich understanding. His praise endures forever." See, we have to get to that place where we understand how real God is in our life and that his plan for us is good. Look at what it says in Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." See, when we are disciplined followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we do what he did. He obeyed God in all things, even unto death. And when we learn how to obey God in all things, we will even be prepared to die well and to die with absolute confidence in having fulfilled all of our purpose on earth as a part of God's plan. Time that we die, we're not going to have things left undone. We're not going to be in despair as if we're missing out on something here, because we know that the next thing we're going to know or experience after death is the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the next thing that you're ever going to experience. And when Jesus Christ returns, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those of us who are still alive, if he came right now, are going to be changed, and we're going to meet him in the air with those who have been raised from the dead, and we are going to experience that. We are going to experience that gathering together of the saints in the rapture, and that is what we have to look forward to. And here now on earth, when we fear God, and we draw near to God by communicating with God, by studying God's word, by fasting, then we are going to experience the power of God in our life, and we're going to believe to perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth. I'm going to go to another passage of scripture that I believe is going to bless you just as much as the scripture that I just read in Proverbs chapter 9. This one is located in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. We're going to read through 27 through verse 29, where it says, "Fear only God." It says, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And what this is saying is that all life is in God's hands. Every life will fall and end, begin and end at its appointed time according to God's plan. And it says, instead of being afraid of these people on earth who can only kill the body, who cannot kill your soul, fear God, because he's the only one who can destroy both soul and body in hell, telling you what absolute power looks like. He's telling you what absolute power is. And see, when we fear the Lord that way, then it affects the way we behave. It affects what draws our attention. It affects what motivates us, what drives us, what causes us to get up and do whatever it is that we do. See, God is concerned about you committing your life to him, committing your purposes to him, committing your will to him so that his will becomes your will and your desires become his desires. And then whatever you desire, when you're in agreement with God and his word, that comes to pass, that happens, right? And you are acknowledging the absolute power of God and that it is greater than any other power in existence and allowing that power to operate and flow through you. That's important. I'll tell you the best compliment that I ever received in my life, I received from one of my engineers, one of my consulting engineers, and he said to me, he said that I was afraid of displeasing God. He said, you know, I think everything that you do is great, but I have one criticism of you. He said, you're afraid of displeasing God. And I know he didn't see that as a compliment, but when I considered what he said and that this is just an unbeliever looking at my life, I said, hey, you know what? That's a pretty good compliment to have somebody just watching you say that you're afraid of displeasing God. Because not that I walk around, oh, I don't want to do anything. No. See, the fear of the Lord means you are empowered to receive all of his grace, all of his mercy, for that 24-hour compartment of time you're living in right now, because God has allowed you to walk in his favor, his unmerited favor. All the good stuff we get from God that we don't deserve, that's a part of his grace. And his enabling power is also a part of his grace, meaning that God is not going to give us something to do without giving us the power and ability to get it done. And then he's going to, even in addition to that, give us mercy so that when we do second guess God, when we do doubt God, when we do allow ourselves to operate in unbelief or we fall short, that mercy allows us to get right back up and not waste time fretting and being on on the ground, licking our wounds. We're to get right back up and get to work. God knows what you're made of. He knows our human frame and what it is, and he knows what we're going to do before we do it. And what he's telling us is, I'm not going to allow that to limit what he's going to do in our life. God is not going to allow your shortcomings to stop him from receiving all the glory that he can get out of your life. That's important for you to understand. So that once again, you can understand this is his work, not your work. If he left this up to you, we'd all be in trouble. But who he left it up to was the one he could trust, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who he sent, who was beat for your physical wholeness, who was nailed to the cross and bled with his perfect blood for your sin to be paid for, and who he raised from the dead after 3 days and three nights, seated at his right hand, gave them all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I permanently. That Holy Spirit cannot be removed from you if you are saved, if you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And that is so important to know, to actually go to Acts 2:38 and 39 and see where it says that we're to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that we're to repent. That means turn away from serving sin. Then to go to Acts 19:1 through 7 that says we're to believe to speak in tongues and believe to prophesy. And then to go to Romans 10 verses 8 to 13 where it says we're to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we're to believe in our heart that God raised his son from the dead, and that we're to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our master. When we do these things, we know that we are saved. We're not buying a lottery ticket to go to heaven. We absolutely know. And when you know you're saved, when you know you're a child of the Most High, then you can enter into the presence of the throne of God and reverentially speak to him. Your fear is acknowledging who he is. You're not afraid to be in his presence, because what draws people away from the presence of God is sin. But the blood of Christ has made you sinless. The blood of Christ has made you the righteousness of God. And so you can daily enter into his presence because he's giving you new grace and new mercy so that you have the ability to do that and understand that the price for your sin has already been paid for. And the more that you draw near to God, the less you're going to have to deal with, the less you're going to have to deal with sin drawing you away from God. Those things that would cause you to act like God isn't right there with you whenever you're doing whatever you're doing. To act like God doesn't know. To act like God doesn't have the power to shut it down. See, it is better for us to understand how much power we are walking in when we fear God, when we acknowledge his presence, when we acknowledge his power, when we acknowledge his knowledge of all things, and to understand that we're not hiding anything from him or ourselves. And really, if you don't care about what God thinks, there's no way you should care about what some person thinks. And many people don't. However, what I found is that people who are out here in the world doing whatever they want, they care about how they're perceived. They care about what people think about them. But, you know, when you're in service to God, you don't care about what people think. You care about what God thinks because he sees all. See, most of what you see in your life is only a fraction of what's actually going on in your head, in your being, in your person. And God sees all of that. And so then the question is, how much of your existence is going toward acknowledging his presence, going toward building his kingdom, going toward developing your relationship with him, going toward becoming familiar with what he has preserved for thousands of years for you to come to acknowledge as in the Holy Scriptures? See, when we get to that point where we fear God the way we should, then our fear of men is going to disappear. Our fear of people is going to disappear. You're not going to be concerned about what they think, because, one, you're not going to have time for it because you're going to be at work. You're going to be doing what God designed you to do, getting glory for him and expanding the kingdom. Look what it says in Job 37:24. It says, therefore, men fear him, for he is not partial to the wise in heart. See, people fear God because God sees all men. the same. Either you are of those who acknowledge him or those who do not acknowledge him. Those who acknowledge God, they submit to his son as their master. And those who ignore God, they reject his son, Jesus Christ, as their master. And it's that simple. Now, God says in his word that he promises that all who seek him will find him. What that means is if you earnestly, diligently seek God, no matter what religion you're seeking him in today, someone has to introduce you to his son, Jesus Christ, and share with you the good news of the gospel so that you then can meet God Almighty, so that you then can come into the presence of the throne of God. And that's a promise from God. See, God doesn't care what religion you were born in. He doesn't care what country you were born in. He doesn't care what race you are. He doesn't care whether you're male or female. He doesn't care if you're a child or if you're old. What he cares about is if you acknowledge his son, Jesus Christ, as your master, and you believe that God raised him from the dead after he was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights dead, raised him from the dead, you believe that, will you be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Will you turn away from serving sin and turn towards serving God? Will you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your master? Will you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the tomb? Will you call out to Jesus as your Lord? Will you believe to speak in tongues? Will you believe to prophesy? See, you have to transition from this domain of the temporal, from this domain of the earthly, from this domain of all things that are temporary, because all these things we experience here, they're going to be done away with someday. And you walk into the realm of the spiritual, the domain of the spiritual, which has unlimited power accessible to you when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit within you. That's what removes your fear of people, your fear of the world, because when you understand greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the way that you operate in the world changes. The way that you maneuver changes. And you have to understand that God is allowing you to be in a place of privilege. Look at what it says here in Luke 12:5. It says, "But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear the one who, after you've been killed, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." See, we don't have to be afraid of telling people about what's real. What's real is that all the energy that people put into running away from those with limited power, people could put into serving the one with unlimited power. And see, that's really the difference. It's the difference between accepting the Son of God and having access to unlimited, absolute power, or rejecting the Son of God and serving limited power, relative power, those who control much of the domain of this world, this temporal existence of men, keeping them in order and governed, and they're governed by fear. Look at what it says in Hebrews 10:31. It says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." See, the living God is the God who created the heavens and the earth. And you have to remember that's who God is. He is the one who made you, and he made you for his glory. And God says there are going to be those who are vessels of honor and those who are vessels of dishonor. And you have to understand that the vessels of dishonor, they have been reserved for the day of judgment. And God is going to get much glory out of doing exactly what he said at that time on the day of judgment. And then You have us. We're able to get glory for God right now, right here, today, by representing God in the earth, by fearing God and not fearing man, by doing what God has given us to do and not being concerned about what people think. Because you know what? When you are standing before the throne of God to receive your reward from him, nobody else is going to be there but you. And there are only three answers that you can receive. You have no reward, you have a partial reward, or you have a full reward. And I'm not talking to unbelievers here. I'm talking to born-again Christians right now. Because all those others, the time they spend in the presence of the God, of God Almighty, is, we know what the end of that is. They're not going to be in eternity with us. But those of us who are going to be in eternity, we need to consider how we want to spend eternity right now today. Because if you don't fear God now, then your chance of being in eternity with no reward is very high. If you fear God now, if you acknowledge him in all areas of your life, your chances of being in heaven with full reward are very high. As a matter of fact, one of the crowns is a crown for those who are looking forward to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because those who are looking forward to Jesus Christ returning, they live like it. They act like it. They know that at any moment Jesus Christ could return, and we don't want him to return seeing us messing up. We want him to return seeing us at work for the kingdom, right? And then you have those in the middle who are going to have a partial reward, who, you know, did their things sometimes and did God's thing sometimes, did God's thing their way sometimes, God's thing God's way other times, and that partial reward, that'll be there. And what we have to do is we have to strive for excellence, strive for mastery, strive for pleasing God, serving God, trusting God, and operating at an unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we don't, we find ourselves trying to please people, which will never happen, serving money, thinking someday we'll get enough, and you never will. Find ourselves leaning to our own understanding instead of just trusting God and being, and find ourselves operating out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities, trying to learn, learning forever, but never seeking that knowledge that we're looking for, that understanding that we really want. And God is telling you, look, I'm giving you everything you need in the Holy Spirit, where word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, that's yours. That's knowledge you can act upon today that you would have to take your whole lifetime trying to even acquire a fraction of that knowledge. God has given it to us accessible on a need-to-know basis, exactly when we need it. And we have to stand in that place of privilege. So I want to encourage you to understand what you allow to be the closest thing to who you are in your life is going to dictate what you're afraid of. So if you're afraid of this world, if you're afraid of what you see in this world, if you're afraid of death, sickness, and disease, and you're afraid of people, places, and things, chances are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is dictating what you do and consuming much of your attention. But if you fear God, then chances are you are close to God and communicating with God and studying God's word and fasting. And if that's the case, then I want to encourage you to continue to draw near and near to God. And don't be afraid to fear God, because it just makes perfect sense. Understanding that, that fear becomes reverence. That fear is simply you acknowledging that He is the ultimate power. And when you come into the presence of the ultimate power, you should acknowledge that power is such. And when you do, God is pleased because you know who He is. See, that's what it's telling you. You know who He is because you've read about what He has done in the past. You are experiencing what He's doing in the present. And you've read about what He's going to do in the future, and you believe it, right? And see, it's your believing that is going to dictate whether or not you acknowledge God and whether or not you fear God. That is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And through this wisdom, your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. That is what you want. And you want to be that wise man who becomes wiser still because he was instructed. You want to be that righteous man who received teaching and increased in his learning, that righteous person. And God wants you to know that He's your Heavenly Father. And when you acknowledge Him as such, as your Heavenly Father, you know that even when you get out of line, He's going to pull you back. He's going to tug you. He's going to remind you of who you are. And that's important to understand. It's important to acknowledge God in your life as caring for you. God says that all of His children are scourged. God chastens all of those whom He loves. And those who are not called by God, who were not called before the foundation of the world, they ask themselves, why would God let me continue in this nonsense if He existed? They find it hard to even accept there's a God because there's such an absence. There's a lack of responsiveness. But the lack of responsiveness isn't because God isn't responding to them. It's because they're not responding to God. They're so far away from God because they serve the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that their proximity to the world has given them incredible distance from God. And yet, if God has called them into the kingdom from the foundation of the world, God's going to send you into the world to bring you closer to those people so that you can bring Him closer to them through you. So you're incredibly important to God. God needs you to be blessed. God needs you to be experiencing the more than abundant life, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, so that you can show them what's available. And your proximity to them is going to show them what a life without fear of the world can be. And when you show them there is something greater to fear, the one who can not only take your life, but can take your soul as well, that's who you fear. Because we're not just talking about this 70 to 120 years here. We're talking about eternity. And I am not one who would want to spend eternity with no reward. Want to spend eternity with a partial reward, knowing I could have had a full reward. I want to be that one or one of those who spends eternity with a full reward, knowing that when I get up, I seek God in the morning. When I am confronted with someone who's seeking God in another religion, earnestly seeking God, I introduce them to Jesus Christ. I don't judge them for religious service of whatever religion they happen to be practicing today. I know that if they are diligently seeking God, God wants to know them as much as they want to know God, but the only way for them to get to God is for me to introduce them to God's Son, Jesus Christ, so that they can submit to Jesus Christ as their master, and then Jesus Christ can present them to his Heavenly Father. That's our job. That's what it is. Well, I hope this teaching about the revelation of fear has blessed you. I would like to give all honor to our Bishop of the Spirit Live Network, Bishop Shalene Cook, and I would like to thank all of those nations that listen to us weekly on all of our programs in Canada, the United States of America, Mexico, Peru, Brazil, Ireland, England, France, New Zealand, Nigeria, South Africa, Indonesia, the Philippines, Japan, China, India, Australia, Bulgaria, Greece, and the United Republic of Tanzania. We thank all of these countries for sharing our programming, and we invite you to invite your friends from other nations who might equally enjoy our program. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone out tonight, God. I thank you for your purposes being fulfilled in the hearts and minds of all of your people, God. Father, I thank you for you doing it, a complete and perfect work, God, in all of us, God. Father, I thank you for how you leave nothing half done or undone. I thank you for the work that you started in us. You will complete and you will finish it, fulfill it in our lives, God. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. Father, I thank you for how you're continually looking out for us, God, and causing us to live a more than abundant life mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And from the Spirit Alive Network, and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, Be Ye Transformed.
Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on, never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Peace in my heart, Lord.
Oh, my heart.
Give me
your holy word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I'll know what
to do.